This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance Agent in Litchfield. By Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. By Kurt's 24-Hour Heavy and Light Duty Towing in Litchfield. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of health care. By the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville and Raymond. Garrell's Auto Body in Litchfield. And by DC Waste and Recycling. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much, and welcome to Sports Saturday on this Veterans Day. And, of course, we will start with thanks to all of our great and amazing veterans across this great land of ours. Without their sacrifice and service, we're not able to sit here and have shows like this. We certainly wouldn't be able to have the great day of high school football that we're going to have across the state today with the quarterfinals. So just thank you very much to all of our great veterans. And the Litchfield Veterans Day Parade will be at 10 o'clock this morning. So get out and support that. That'll be going through downtown Litchfield. And then they will have a Veterans Day ceremony. It's been moved to the VFW Hall in Litchfield. That ceremony will be at 11 o'clock this morning. So thank you to all of the veterans across this great country of ours for their service. And like I said, it sets up and allows us to have fun with things that other countries just don't have the ability to get done. But in this great country of ours, we certainly do. And it is quarterfinal football day. And we are happy to be joined now by the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, Chad Easterday. And good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing very well this morning. And, hey, it's always great when you're still playing football on Veterans Day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's nothing better I would want to be doing than right there doing this. So,
Chad, we're not going to spend too much time looking back because, obviously, it's a game day today and a big game with Pleasant Plains coming in. But I do want to talk a little bit about that game at St. Teresa last week. I thought your club showed incredible grit, moxie, however you want to phrase it. They had a lot of adversity to come over last week, and they got it done.
Yeah, you know, guts, whatever adjective you want to use, I thought our kids had all of it. You know, and that's the other thing I think people, you know, I thought our coaching staff did a great job, too. I know it's about the kids, but nobody panicked.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a good sign of a veteran ball club, both on the player side and on the coach's side. You know, we made some mistakes, yelled and screamed at each other, got over it quickly, and got the job done. So that's definitely, you know, a positive that we worked on this week.
And, Chad, with all those different things, that's a game that you guys might not have won 2 or 3 years ago.
No, that's correct. I think the experience of the playoffs helped. I think, you know, consistency helps and those types of things. So having had those opportunities in the past, playing in a good conference helps those things because that's what you experience sometimes throughout your conference schedule. So I think that's definitely all the things that contribute to a win like that.
Chad, you've been the head coach of Carlinville for 10 years. I certainly haven't done all those games during that period, but I've done my fair share. I don't ever recall you guys giving up 2 special teams touchdowns in one game.
Thanks, Tim.
You're welcome. Hey, you're welcome.
You know, you know, that's uncharacteristic of us. You know, it was just a miscue. And, you know, maybe should have had it planned a little better, practiced a little better, stuff like that. You look back, we were able to win the game, so it didn't cost us the game, and I think that's the positive thing for that. But, you know, obviously that was a point of emphasis for us because we try very, very hard to be perfect on those special teams because there's the unhidden yardage in the game that can make the difference.
Second straight year, you guys are in the state quarterfinals. You're home this week as you will take on Pleasant Plains. What have you seen from Plains on film?
You know, they're not a 16 seed, I can tell you that. you know, as we talked around town and people have asked me, you know, as you guys know, because you did the brackets, but there were no 5-4s.
No.
So somebody, and I'm not docking Plains here, but somebody had to be that 16 seed. So there were 5, 6, and 3 teams in our bracket, and some of them got chosen by a coin flip because they had identical playoff points. So, you know, they're very diverse. They're a lot like us. They throw the ball. They run the ball. They love to mix things up on you, so it should be a great atmosphere and a great game.
And they seem to be playing some of their best football in the playoffs.
That's correct. You know, this is school history for them, as it is for us. so a lot of motivating things to keep that going.
Chad, how did you guys come out of last week health-wise?
Pretty good. Alex Morton lost him this week. He had he's got a knee injury. Not sure the extent of it. If he'll be back, hopefully next week we can get a win. But so we only had one injury, but that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing, but it is a big one. And you guys have had some injuries on that offensive line, but you have to like the way that the kids that you've called upon have stepped up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You're going to say it or I'm going to say it. We firmly believe in the next man up philosophy here. So, those kids that get hurt, we feel very, very bad for them. But unfortunately, in life and in football, those things, the next week happens regardless if they're there or not. So, we've always tried to prep ourselves for substitutions and game-like things that happen, like that sort of thing, so that we can be prepared for it.
Chad, if you were just going to oversimplify to get today's game for us, the two things that Cronville has to do to get the W.
Tackle. You weren't going to get some. I know coaches don't want to hear that stuff, but if we tackle, we're athletic, we're fast. So I think we're going to be in the right spots if we can tackle consistently for four quarters, weather a little storm, and go from there. I think our chances are good.
Wright was a big back last week and a very athletic type of build. Samson for Plains, they list him at 5'9", 195. That's like a bowling ball.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot like that Wood River fullback does. That type of kid. He is definitely not going to run away from you, I don't think, but he can definitely eat up some time on the clock and chunk things down the field on you. So, we're going to have to play some gap sound football and make sure we can get that covered. Now, they throw the ball fairly well, where maybe a Wood River didn't throw it as well as maybe a Plains does. So we're going to have to be able to handle both those situations.
All right, Chad, sounds great, sir. Good luck today.
Thank you very much, guys.
All right, Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carletonville Cavaliers, as they are getting set to host Pleasant Plains in another South Central Sangamon battle. And, David, we've been fortunate enough to have a number of these over the years. Of course, Cronville beat Williamsville in the second round last year after having some trouble with Auburn the previous years. They did beat Pleasant Plains in the 2014 opening round, but that game really has no consequence at all because none of the players are going to be the same.
No, none of the players are the same. I don't know if the system is the same for Pleasant Plains. It's definitely not as similar for Carlinville because they're more of a passing attack this year than they were at the time because they had backs like Kenny Miles and I don't remember who else, but Job Easterday was the quarterback of that team. Pleasant Plains played a good first half in that one, but their offense was centered around one guy. This year, I believe they're probably more explosive as a team. So we'll see if Carlinville can, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting.
Well, and like Chad said, there was no 5-4 teams in the draw, so Pleasant Plains, yeah. Somebody had to get the 16 seed.
Well, I think they had one fewer defeated opponent's wins how that ended up being.
Yeah, Plains is 8-3. Their three losses are all still playing.
Right.
Athens in 1A quarterfinals, Murrah Forsyth in the 2A quarterfinals, Williamsville in the 3A quarterfinals. So
that's right.
Those are the only three teams to beat them.
It's a heck of a conference, heck of a league for both South Central and the Sangamo.
Well, I mean, we start every football season talking about the South Central, the Sangamo, and every year, essentially, those conferences have teams in this round of the postseason, and obviously this year is no different. Vandalia still alive in the 3A playoffs. They will be hosting Anna Jonesboro today, and of course the winner of Vandy and Anna Jonesboro will get the winner of Carletonville and Pleasant Plains in the southern half of the bracket semifinals. The top half of the 3A bracket has all sorts of victories, all sorts of perennial powers. Williamsville 11-0, they will host 11-0 Byron today at 2 o'clock. Defending 3A champion Elmhurst IC Catholic, they will host number 8 Wilmington. Both of those teams are 10-1, and of course those winners will square off in the northern half of the 3A bracket in the semifinals. That IC Catholic game tonight at 5, all the other 2A quarterfinals at 2 o'clock this afternoon. In Class 1A, we mentioned Athens will be on the road at Bridgeport Red Hill. That game will be at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Another big 1A quarterfinal has Carrollton at Tuscola. Of course, Both of those teams are accustomed to deep runs in the playoffs. That's a 2 o'clock kick today in Tuscola. The top half of the 1A bracket has Lena Winslow at Freeport Aquin, two traditional powerhouses there. That's a 1 o'clock kick. Princeville will be at Forreston. That'll be a 4:30 kick today in the other 1A quarterfinal. In Class 2A, you've got Marrora Forsyth. They are on the road at Hamilton West Hancock. That's a 1 o'clock kick. El Paso Gridley, that's Dan Newkirk's alma mater, El Paso.
Half of it,
that's exactly right. I remember he pointed that out, though, on the Road to the Calb show, and here is El Paso Gridley still alive at 7-4. So there's a 5-4 team that made some upsets and still finds themselves playing football in the quarterfinal round.
Every year it happens at least once.
It always does. Gibson City Melvin Sibley will be their opponent. That'll be a 2 o'clock kick today. Orion, they will be at Newman Central Catholic. That is a 1 o'clock kick. And Shelbyville will be at Westville for a 1 o'clock kick. And I remember Shelbyville, I think it's their third straight year in the quarterfinals. Last year, that affected Hillsborough's basketball season as they have Shelbyville on the schedule early. And that game was canceled. Might happen again this year.
Could, potentially. Merle Forsyth, I believe, left last night. I think they stayed the night at Warsaw. So
yeah, there you go. That's big time there. That's like, that's collegiate style.
That's right.
Hey, we need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. So much more to do. We're going to have Dave Kane coming up in about half an hour. But on the way after the break, we're going to talk to Carthenville volleyball coach Fran Struble. Of course, the Cavies got all the way to the Super Sectional this year before bowing out. So we will talk to Fran about the great Carthenville volleyball season following these messages on Sports Saturday.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you very much. Of course, we have high school playoff football coming up this afternoon from Carthenville, 3A state quarterfinal. Carthenville hosting Pleasant Plains. They kick off at 2. We'll have live coverage with the pregame at 1:45 on FM 106, and we'll be streaming online as well at WSMIRadio.com. Well, the volleyball season will wrap up today as the state championship matches are set to go at Redbird Arena in Normal. In Class 1A, the state championship match, Stu Strauss will take on Payson Seymour. That match will begin approximately at 10:30 this morning as the 1A third place match is underway. That started at 9 o'clock this morning between Newark and Durant. Your Class 2A State Volleyball Championship match has Quincy Notre Dame taking on St. Thomas More. That'll happen at around 2. The 3A State Championship has Belleville Althoff against Chicago Resurrection. That'll be around 5:30 this evening. And your 4A State Championship, Manuka, takes on Chicago Marist at around 9 o'clock this evening. And we are very honored to be joined now by the great Fran Struble, the longtime Carthenville volleyball coach. And Fran, good morning. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
Hey, we're doing very well on this great day for high school sports. We got football playoffs. We got the volleyball state tournament. And I guess, Fran, first things first, as you've had a little time now to process your volleyball season, what are your thoughts on the ride that your girls took you on this year?
It was great. At the end of the season, they peaked at the right time. Of course, you want them to be playing strong all season, but at the end, they gave everything they had and just played fantastic. I knew they could do it. I knew they had that capability. It was just everything had to come together at the right time.
And, Fran, I mean, you've been doing this for so long. You know that it's not always your best team, necessarily, that makes the deepest run in the playoffs. It's all about the draw and how you're playing at that time, as you mentioned. As you have found over the years, what is the, I guess, if there's a trick or how do you get your team to try to peak at that right time?
You know, you can try everything you can, but so much of it has to do with their chemistry, their belief. Do they trust each other? You know, this team was extremely close. And the leadership of our seniors all through the season kept telling our younger players, you know, we can do this, step up, here we go, you know, enjoy the ride. It was just fantastic. It really was. But, you know, again, you can coach everything you want to coach, but that doesn't always bring the peak at the right peak.
Right. And I suppose maybe one of the consistent things that maybe all your great teams have had is good senior leadership.
Yes. You know, that's so important that your seniors are there for the team and not for themselves. And, you know, that's what you want to instill in your girls, that it's from the freshmen, really from our middle school program up, is that it's all about the team. It's not about you. It's all about the team and making the team better. And we work hard in practice every day to push each other, to make each other better. And as hard as they want me to push them, that's how hard I get to push them.
Friend, do you pay attention to the state tournament when you get eliminated in the super sectional, or you just kind of take a step back and decompress for a while?
You know what? This year, I took a step back. We went to Utah.
Nice.
We just got back from Utah.
That's excellent. I would say you earned that trip.
Yeah, it was one of those things that it was wonderful because it was so relaxing, so enjoyable that, both my husband and I had such a good time on the trip because nothing was set. You know, we did what we wanted to do when we wanted to do it. And then I came back home and it's now I can, listen to the playoffs and, enjoy the playoffs.
Absolutely. As you look back at that super sectional match with Newton, how do you see that match now with some time to look at it?
This team has never come out scared all season. And in the first set, they came out almost like deer in headlights, not playing their normal game. Our passing has been beautiful all season. We have a great passing group. We have Lissa Despain sits in the middle of it, and she's a tremendous passer, and Taylor Wills passes six rotations with her on the side. And then we have, other girls who step in, but we faltered. We weren't as strong as we normally are. We weren't passing the perfect passes, so we couldn't run the fast offense. And then we settled down. I talked to them in between the games, and we settled down. And the second set, we passed beautifully. And so we could run the fast offense. We could put the balls in the holes. Newton had played spectacular defense. I mean, they were scraping up balls that, you would have thought were down, but their defense was just on fire that night. We played great defense the second set, but which kept us, in the game. Defense is so strong, and we've relied on our passing and defense all season because that has been our strength. And, looking at it, they gave everything that they could. They did the what I would call abnormal in the first set, but, they wanted to go to state so bad that they lost sight of focusing on that first set. And then, it's one set at a time. It's not the whole match. And I always tell them when we win the, we were going through playoffs and we win the first set, and I always look at them in between that first and second set and say, okay, the score is 0-0. Mm-hmm. Unless you win this next set, we haven't won it.
And friend, I'm just
so that's what we worked off of.
I'm just curious because it depends on the coach and all that, but a lot of coaches will try to get their kids to say, of super sectional game, state final game, this is just another game. It's like any other game. And while that's technically true, it's not true at the same time.
No, and I'm one of those who said it's just another game. Don't put so much pressure on yourself and your team that you lose focus. I want them to realize that it is another game. It's not the end of their life.
Right.
If you play strong, you have nothing. And I always tell them, when that match was over with Newton, you have nothing to hang your head about. You finished in the Elite Eight in state, and you gave everything you had. That's all I can ask. I can't ask for anything more.
There's probably about 200 other teams that would have gladly traded places with you.
Yeah, that's what I said, too, also. Look how many teams are not where you are.
Yeah.
They didn't get this far, and you did, so be proud.
Friend, you've had such a great run of success at Carlinville. So the next question is, what does your squad look like for next year?
Every year is a regroup, rebuild. And we've got some strong girls coming in. Our three juniors have played, started this year. We had one who started as a sophomore. So we're going to come in with some experience. Our younger girls played all season against our varsity, which it's incredible how much they have stepped up, how much their skills have improved. So it'll be a rebuilding year, but there's good talent back behind.
All right. Fran Struble, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning. Congratulations on your great run to the Elite Eight.
Thanks so much.
All right. Fran Struble of the Carlinville Cavaliers. And David, we talked to her at the start of the year. They've never had a losing season.
How about that?
Under Coach Struble.
It's pretty good.
Never.
Pretty good.
Never.
So you're saying they're kind of a dynasty.
I think it works.
By high school volleyball standards.
I mean, yeah. I mean, when you think about, you know, a smaller public school to consistently have that type of run, a lot. I mean, obviously they have the athletes. There's no question about that. But Fran Struble coaches them up and maxes out the skill set every single year.
They are a factory, a volleyball factory over there. I mean, that's the appropriate term, I think.
Fair enough.
They've had their fair share of talented girls come out of there.
Yes, they have. No question about that. You say factory, it makes me think of the football factory up in Chicago, Mount Carmel. That's what they call that for years, and that's where East St. Louis is going today.
Okay. Well, Carlinville's pretty good at volleyball.
Yeah.
I mean, they're up there.
They've got that volleyball thing figured out.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Fran and her girls on a great year that came to a close in the Elite Eight. The volleyball season will officially wrap up today at Redbird Arena in Normal. Big day across the state. Of course, you got the volleyball state championships, all sorts of football state quarterfinals, and it looks like it's going to be a pretty good day of weather here. Going to be in that mid-40 range, and it looks like the rain is going to stay away, at least in the central part of the state.
Don't forget about that Illini football game, too. That's a big day across Illinois.
Oh, yeah, we can't forget about that.
They do play today.
They do play today. They're playing Indiana today. Somebody's getting the first Big Ten win, unless they change the rules and say, you know what, we'll let you guys tie.
Who? Hoosiers.
Hoosiers. They had a bad night on the basketball floor last night. I hope Archie Miller is renting and didn't buy anything. That's not a good start.
I love going to Twitter sometimes because they said, I don't remember any of State's basketball coach.
Where all the
coach.
Rational people in America are.
Of course.
Twitter.
Great ideas are born there.
That's
I don't remember what Indiana State's basketball head coach's name is, but I guess he's making $275,000 a year.
That's not bad.
Archie Miller is making $279,000 a month.
That's a little better.
It is.
Yeah.
I think. It's either a month or a day, but either way, it's better than...
I told you earlier this morning, you can't lose that game if you're Indiana.
No.
You can't lose that game.
No.
Can't happen.
No. But they did.
That's right. You know, we talked about that when Illinois lost that exhibition game to Eastern. I said, you can't lose that game. Maybe it was the best thing that happened to them because, my goodness, when it counted last night, they smoked Southern 102-55. They looked fantastic. Out-rebounded Southern 42-26, held them to just 37% shooting. Illinois didn't shoot the ball well. They just made 4 of 21
They did
threes.
From the free throw line. That was incredible.
And that's been a problem for them over the last number of years.
They missed, what, one free throw all evening? Something like that?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Edwardsville graduate Mark Smith played 21 minutes, 9 points on 3 of 7 shooting, as they have, I think, 5 freshmen on the roster. More studs coming in for next year. So Illinois basketball looking up here.
And I do want to put this disclaimer right here. This is going to be the biggest overreaction to one game, you know, what's being said. Because it's just one game, and it's against Southern, but they never played that well against a team like Southern under John Gross.
I don't know if I could say never, but it certainly in a lot of instances that's the case.
They kind of had a propensity to play down to the level of competition.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that from that standpoint, it was very good to see them come out last night and put the pedal to the metal and get it done. They're back at it tomorrow. UT Martin live at 4. On 105.3 The Ox. If you go to the FightingIllini.com website, it'll say they're playing Middle Tennessee State.
Yeah, they are not.
Tennessee.
There's
Martin.
A heck of a difference between those two opponents. It may not sound like much of a difference. Believe me, there is. Middle Tennessee State has won tournament games the past couple of years.
That's who beat Michigan State.
It is.
They
were
ago,
a 15
right?
seed a couple of years ago. And last year they were a 12 seed and made it to the second round. I thought they made it to the Sweet 16. Maybe not. But they're pretty. They're a Conference USA team. UT Martin, I think, is Ohio Valley. So they play the likes of SIU Edwardsville.
And Eastern.
So, yeah.
Forget about EIU, baby.
We can't forget about them. Dynasty.
Ruling the roost.
That's right, Dynasty. Who is it? Southern Indiana beat Eastern like a few days after Eastern beat Illinois. So obviously the only logical conclusion to draw from that is Southern Indiana is better than Illinois.
I don't see how you could get to a conclusion other than that.
No, not at all.
Just total logic.
That's right. I think they're Division II, so it only makes sense.
So they're going to the Final Four.
Absolutely.
Pencil them in.
Just bump them up to one or Division I right now, and they can secure their ticket to the dance.
There you go. Duke won last night. Career win 9-9-9 at Duke for Mike Krzyzewski.
Did he coach elsewhere?
Oh, yeah.
Was he at Army? Coach at Army?
Yes,
okay, I didn't know that.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
See, I didn't know that.
But, yeah, so they played today. He could get 1,000 wins at Duke.
How about that?
My goodness.
How about that? They also had some good news on the recruiting trail yesterday, too. I guess you didn't hear. R.J. Barrett?
Oh, Duke always has good news on the recruiting
trail. Yeah, I know, but I think he's what, the number one recruit next year? Something like that?
They got the number one recruit? That's weird.
Or at least a top five recruit,
yeah.
So.
It's what they do, man.
Yeah.
It's what they
reload.
Do. They got Marvin Bagley III. This always fascinates me with these high-end college players. He reclassified. So that means he was going to be a senior in high school this year. That kid last night looked like he could have been playing in the NBA right now.
Well, that's what Jontay Porter did for Mizzou. He was supposed to be a senior in high school this year, and he's playing for the Mizzou Tigers right now, and they won last night without Michael Porter Jr. pretty much because he didn't play all that much because I guess he's been dealing with an injury all week, scored 2 points. But Tillman looked good. Jeremiah Tillman, unfortunately.
Yeah, the Illini, I don't need him.
No.
They're just fine.
Well, they don't have many bigs on their roster. It's all guards.
It's a small man's game now, David.
That's right.
It's a small man's
game.
It's like,
a 15-player roster, and I think 11 of them are guards.
Like Terry Toad always says, give me guards.
Well, they got him.
Just give me guards.
There's no shortage of guards in Champaign.
That's right. Hey, speaking of Terry, it's been 12 weeks yesterday since he went into the hospital to have his stomach cancer surgery. He's still in the hospital, but he is, I would say, starting to get better, starting to heal, starting to progress. We're seeing some positive signs, hearing some positive things coming from Terry. He's still in Memorial Hospital, so if you'd like to drop him a note, stop by and see him. He's always up for visitors, always makes him feel good.
Or if you can't get it up there, you could probably drop it off here, and we can find a way to get it up there, too.
Yes.
All fails.
Pony Express.
That's right.
So we certainly send out our best wishes, thoughts, and prayers to Terry and his entire family as he continues to recover. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back following these messages.
Hey, just a reminder, as we mentioned, we do have Fighting Illini football on the air today. They will kick off against Indiana around 11 o'clock on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. The broadcast starts at 10, so if you want to tune in for the pregame, that's when to get it. And then, of course, high school football later today on WSMI FM 106.
David, you told me for, like, weeks how terrible Purdue was. You told me Purdue stunk.
Yeah.
And that you thought Illinois could win that game.
I said
it was
a winnable game.
What happened?
I said it was a winnable game.
Okay. What happened?
Illini are just bad. There's a difference between a winnable game and a game they have no chance at. Doesn't mean they're still going to win it. They're just not good.
For those who don't know, full disclosure,
apparently
David is a huge Ohio State Buckeyes fan.
I am.
For football.
I am.
Loves the Ohio State Buckeyes football team.
Mm-hmm.
You said to me the other day, one of the most outrageous things I've ever heard you say. You were down in the dumps after Iowa blew Ohio State out. And what did you tell me, David?
I said that if Illinois played Ohio State at home this year, they would beat him. I've since learned it's at the Horseshoe. So I'm kind of walking that back.
Okay.
But,
okay.
Yeah, if it were at Illinois, because Ohio State also has had the, you know, they've had kind of the propensity to play down to their level of competition when it comes to Illinois in the past.
Just your fandom paranoia.
Yeah. I've given up on the season with two losses. They're not making the playoffs. So.
Oh, no.
And I don't care. I don't care about the bowl games.
No, they have no chance to make the playoffs.
No.
No chance.
Not unless everyone else loses, like, two games.
Not
if everyone
likely.
Else does.
Not but, likely.
Yeah.
Not likely.
That's their only chance.
That's right. The Illini might have their only chance for a Big Ten win today. Indiana also winless in league play, so we'll see if Lovie Smith and the Illini get it done today, 10 o'clock on 105.3 The Ox. As David mentioned, we will have the Carletonville-Pleasant Plains game this afternoon on FM 106 and online at WSMIRadio.com through our friends at Network One Sports. Let's dive a little bit in to these 3A quarterfinals. In the southern half of the bracket, we mentioned Plains, the 16 seed, Carletonville, the 5 seed. But, David, you can kind of just toss the seeds right out. I don't know. They don't really matter much at all. I mean, Pleasant Plains has already beaten an unbeaten one seed, knocked off Newton last week, so it doesn't matter what
they really only matter in regards to where you're playing, like whether or not you're going to get home field advantage. Otherwise, it doesn't matter because there are quite a few 5-4 teams who are better than some of the 8-1s or the 7-2s of the world.
Plains, first year of football was just 2003, so they have come in an incredible way in a short amount of time. This is their first quarterfinal playoff appearance, their fifth appearance in the postseason overall, scoring just over 31 a game, giving up 22 a game, but you have to remember the offenses that they face in the regular year. So 22 points may sound like a big number, but when you're playing Williamsville, playing Maroon Forsyth, playing Athens, points are going to be scored.
This is true, but they do have, I mean, there are some holes in the defense. I mean, that's something that they've never been known as a defensive powerhouse. Even with their successful teams, they've been built through offense. So Carlinville probably will be able to score some points. It'll be whether or not Pleasant Plains can keep up, more than likely.
Plains put 51 on Westland, hung 29 on Newton. For Carlinville, 52 points in their win over Wood River in round one and that great 40-36 win last week at Decatur St. Teresa. And I really do think, I mentioned it to Chad, and he didn't really disagree with me. I think he agreed with me. They don't win that game 2 or 3 years ago, Carlinville. With all the adversity that they went through, when they get in the second round, something bad would happen, and it would just snowball on them. And next thing you know, the game was just out of hand in a hurry, and you think, they're a better club than this. What has happened? But just for whatever reason, a lot of things would work against them in that second round playoff game. Last year, they put all that behind them with that great run. And confidence. I mean, sports is all about confidence.
Yeah.
And in years past, maybe, when something like that would happen, Carlinville would think, here we go again. Well, when it happened last week, they thought, we've been here before.
Right. They're the defending runner-ups. I mean, they're used to this by now.
Yeah.
Who cares? Give us your best shot.
Exactly. And they took it, and they came out standing at the end of the day. So big-time game today, South Central versus Sangamo, live at 145 on FM 106 for Carlinville and Pleasant Plains. The winner of Carlinville and Plains will get the winner of Vandalia and Anna Jonesboro, as Anna Jonesboro has played nothing but South Central teams their entire playoff run.
You might get it next week, too, if it all works out.
It could work out that way. Obviously, a lot between now and then. But you got Anna Jonesboro unbeaten, the 3 seed, 46.9 points a game, giving up 18. They beat Hillsboro in round one, beat Pena in round two. We've talked about it throughout the shows here since that Hillsboro game. But the Toppers, they had that ball game.
Yeah.
I mean, they went down to Anna, and they went toe-to-toe with Anna Jonesboro, just couldn't score enough points as the game went along. But then you think, AJ, they bounced back. That wasn't a good matchup for them with Hillsboro. They beat Pena 29-14, and then we'll see what they do against Vandalia today. But the Vandals, I think, are in the same boat, David, as Pleasant Plains. Yeah, they're a 15 seed. Yeah, they're 8-3. Doesn't matter.
Right.
Doesn't matter. They're playing great football right now. Of course, Carlinville was one of their losses. They're still alive. Mm-hmm. Greenville was one of their losses. They avenged that last week, beating the Comets in round two. And then, of course, Pena was their other loss. So all three of Vandalia's losses to very good clubs.
Right. Well, and it's interesting, too, because Hillsboro is the better defense of the three South Central teams Anna Jonesboro will have played. I would put Vandalia in between Hillsboro and Pena. They've got probably the second defense between those three. And then Pena's offense is probably, I think, the best of those three. Vandalia's in the middle. I would have put Hillsboro a tick behind Vandalia for third. So Vandalia's offense not as good as Pena's, but defense is better than Pena's. So that's a fancy way of saying I don't know where this game's going to go today.
Well, and we were talking about Carlinville Plains. You were talking about home field. Huge in this matchup between Vandalia and Anna Jonesboro, because you're talking about a three-hour trip.
It's tough to play Vandalia at home when they're at home.
Yes. Tough. I don't know what it is about that place, but that is a great home field advantage.
Oh, yeah. So it'll be very, very interesting. And I don't know how Anna Jonesboro did on the road this year. Were they undefeated?
Undefeated.
Okay, so obviously they did well, but
I don't think they lost the game.
No, probably not. No, not in theory.
That's right. So, Vandalia, AJ, winner against Carlinville Plains, winner in the state semifinals next week in the bottom half of the 3A bracket. The top half of the 3A bracket is phenomenal.
Loaded.
Oh my goodness. Williamsville's 11-0.
Powerhouse.
Byron's 11-0.
Powerhouse.
IC Catholic's 10-1.
Powerhouse.
Wilmington's 10-1.
Powerhouse.
Oh boy. Oh
my
boy.
Goodness.
Other than that, not much happened in the top half of 3A.
So a pretty slow half of the bracket,
yes.
I'd say.
So Williamsville's the 2 seed, Byron's the 3, the Bullets will host this afternoon that game. I've got the start time written down here somewhere, 2 o'clock.
If Williamsville wins today, they are going to be on the road no matter what because they have not been on the road in the postseason. They're 3-0, they're at home all 3 weeks in the playoffs. They will be on the road regardless, so they'll be trying real hard for a win today.
Williamsville scoring 43 points a game, giving up just 5 points a game. They only allowed double digits twice all year. Gave up 12 to North Mac in week 4 and then surrendered 14 to Bloomington Central Catholic last week. And David, we haven't even hit on that. I think we thought it, a lot of people around the state, if you read certain things, Williamsville is going to have trouble with Bloomington Central Catholic. The kind of the general prevailing thought was, that's a tough draw. Like, Williamsville has a chance because they're Williamsville, but that's going to be tough. Or not.
Yeah.
They blew them out.
It started out as a tough matchup because I think it was close early, and then they just absolutely ran away with it. And they got help because of 5 turnovers by Central Catholic.
That's what it all comes down to. In a one-and-done situation, who takes care of the football, who makes the open field tackle?
I only really know of one team that turned the ball over that many times and won, and that was Gillespie back when they played Carmi-White County a few years ago in 2013. They had at least 4 turnovers. It may have been 5, and they ended up winning by 2 touchdowns. Yeah.
So I wasn't necessarily surprised that Williamsville won, but I was definitely surprised
that
they blew them out. That caught me off guard, 45-14.
They're good.
Yes, they are.
They're good.
They'll get a test today, and of course, Williamsville has been home throughout their entire playoff run. They got a great home field advantage there in Williamsville, too. The other quarterfinal in 3A has Wilmington against IC Catholic. Of course, Wilmington, they beat Williamsville in the 2014 3A title game on a late field goal, 20-17. IC Catholic, of course, beat Carlinville last year in the 3A championship game. So you mentioned it. Both of these quarterfinals in the top half of the 3A bracket have a state championship vibe.
Right. It's so interesting because if Williamsville wins today, the semifinal in the top half of the bracket, regardless of who wins that IC Catholic and Wilmington game, is so intriguing. Because if IC Catholic wins and Williamsville wins, it's arguably the 1 and 2 teams in the top half. I know IC Catholic was 5, but let's face it, they're the best team in 3A. So it's arguably the 1 and 2 teams in the top half of the bracket. And if Wilmington wins, as you said, it's a rematch of the state championship a few years ago. That was won on a field goal.
And so that is rare in itself. Right. So few of the football championship games are actually close.
Right.
And so to have one come down, I think it was literally a last-second field goal.
Right.
Like,
well, a small school, to have a small school championship game won on a field goal, because you don't have that very often. I don't think it was a chip shot either.
It was 30-plus, I'm pretty sure. I don't remember the exact yardage now, but, yeah, it was
a tough way to lose.
Brutal
way
to lose.
Yeah.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. On the other side, we hope to catch up with Dave Kane of the Springfield State Journal-Register following these messages on Sports Saturday.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Football quarterfinal day across the state. Also, volleyball championship day across the state. And the third place match in Class 1A is complete. Durand beats Newark in 2, 25-19 to take third place in the 1A volleyball state tournament. So the 1A state championship getting set to roll. It'll be Stu Strauss and Payson Seymour as that ball game is expected to begin in about half an hour. Carlinville hosts Pleasant Plains today. We'll have live coverage, 1:45 on WSMI FM 106 for the 2 o'clock kick. We'll stream it online as well at WSMIRadio.com. We broke down the 3A bracket. Coming up in 1A today, you've got Lena Winslow at Freeport-Aquin, Princeville at Forest, and that's the top half. And then in the bottom half of the bracket is Carrollton at Tuscola and Athens at Bridgeport Red Hill. Very happy to be joined now by Dave Kane of the Springfield State Journal-Register. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, Tim, how are you?
Hey, doing very well on this great football quarterfinal Saturday. Where are you headed today, Dave?
I am headed probably to the same place you are headed, to
Carlinville.
Yeah, it's, you know, Pleasant Plains, of course, is, you know, right down the road from
yes.
Springfield. And, of course, you know, both schools, both teams are kind of in our papers covered area, so that makes it kind of extra, you know, kind of exciting because we're, you know, familiar with both teams, so it ought to be a lot of fun.
Plains, of course, has great athletic programs across the board, boys and girls, but they're very impressive that they just got football in 2003 and now here in 2017 they're in the quarterfinals.
Right, yeah. Yeah, they it's funny, them and Athens, I think Athens started a program, you know, a few years after Plains did. And with those schools adding football, that had a lot to do with the Sangamo becoming a football conference. So, but yeah, Plains, you know, like you said, over the years has had a lot of success in baseball and basketball and some other sports. And, they finally, you know, they've made a few playoff appearances. In fact, they played at Carlinville a couple of years ago in the first round. But yeah, this is their first trip to the third round. And they are the, I guess in 1A through 6A, they're the only number 16 seed that's still standing. So that's a pretty good accomplishment right there.
And we saw when the brackets came out several weeks ago on the road to DeKalb that there were no 5-4 teams in 3A. So while Plains is a 16 seed, when you look at their three losses, all those teams are still playing.
Right, right. You know, I think obviously Plains lost to, you know, to Moroa and to Williamsville, you know, the two real powerhouses in the Sangamo. Then I think Plains also lost to Athens.
Yes.
And like you said, Athens is alive in 1A. So yeah, that's, it speaks pretty highly, you know, for the Sangamo Conference. They have, the Sangamo has, you know, four teams that are still playing today. So, you know, Plains is an example of, you know, maybe that tough schedule, you know, paying off in the long run for them. And, you know, they had some injuries early too. But they've been able to kind of regroup, and here they are.
The South Central and the Sangamo have really been two of the premier small public school football conferences in the central part of the state, really since the Sangamo came in a number of years ago. The South Central has been there for a while. But we've been treated to several South Central versus Sangamo playoff matches, and a lot of them haven't come in the first round, so there's been some good implications with them.
Right, right. I think just last year, I think that was a second round game when Williamsville came down to Carlinville.
Yes.
And of course that was a knockdown drag out. I think the Cavies finally won it on a Jacob Dixon throwing a halfback pass of all things.
Yes.
So yeah, but you have you know, just every so often those two conferences knock heads, but like you said, usually it's in the maybe the second round or in this case the third round. So you know, both very good conferences with a lot of, although like you said, the Sangamo, I think the Sangamo got going in football about in 2009, so still relatively new for them. But yeah, both conferences with a lot of quality teams.
Have you seen both of Carlinville's playoff games here, the win over Woodover and that great win last week at St. Teresa? A different looking Carlinville team this year than we've seen in years past. They can really get it done with the pass.
Well, yeah, yeah, you know, Jared Easterday, yes, only, you know, only a junior, but of course he, you know, he kind of served an apprenticeship, his freshman year, you know, when he had to fill in, so he got some experience there. Yeah, they, you know, maybe 10 years ago, somebody would have said, oh, Carlinville is going to, eventually become, I don't say more of a passing team, but a very good passing team. I don't know if people would have believed it just because of the tradition.
Well, we got
but,
left out of town.
No, absolutely. But when you have, well, obviously a receiver like Kyle Dixon, plus, you know, Donovan King, who caught the game-winning touchdown last week, and Ambuel and some of those guys, between that, and you have an experienced quarterback like Easterday, who's the son of a coach, and he's been around for a long time, so they've been able to really put it together with a good passing game, but they can still run the ball, as Tucker Hughes showed that last week in that final drive. He carried a pretty big load also.
We could wind up with a South Central Conference semifinal in the bottom half of the 3A bracket. And, Dave, in the northern half of the 3A bracket, I mean, you can't get much better in terms of perennial powers than Byron, Williamsville, Wilmington, IC Catholic. As you look at Williamsville this year, I mean, they've had great teams over the years. Teams that have made deep playoff runs, that have dominated people throughout the regular year and even in the playoffs. With that said, is this the best team Williamsville's had, say, in the last 10 years?
Boy, it's hard to say for sure. I'm not trying to wiggle around
right.
it, but defensively, Williamsville had a team, I think, in 2012 that had like 8 or 9 shutouts, just defensively, just outstanding. And I think they lost a heartbreaker to Tolono in the quarterfinals on a last-second field goal. So defensively, you know, this team maybe compares to that one. Offensively, you know, this team maybe compares to the team that made it to the state title game a few years ago when Jace Franklin was just a sophomore. And, you know, it's kind of a combination. If you could combine those two teams from a few years ago, you would maybe have this year's team.
Oh my.
So, this safe to say, I think this is probably they are in the middle of, like, the toughest road that a Williamsville team has had to go, because they do have to go north. And, you know, today they play an unbeaten Byron team. Luckily, it's at Williamsville. And if they win, well, they'll get either the defending state champions or they'll get Wilmington, who beat Williamsville in a state title game in 2014 on a last-second field goal. So, pick your poison there. This is certainly one of Williamsville's best teams. I'll just leave it at that.
Were you surprised? Obviously, you didn't get to see the game last week, but were you surprised that Williamsville beat Central Catholic by the margin that they did? Because Tim and I were expecting a pretty close game.
I was a little bit surprised. Central Catholic, just always a traditionally very good team. I think they had only lost one game all year. They beat Central Catholic beat Tolono in week 9, and Tolono was very good this year. Of course, they were 4A this year, which is unusual. But it did surprise me a little bit. But, Williamsville in week 3, I think everybody expected a really knockdown drag out between them and Moroa,
yeah.
And Williamsville just got on a roll and won that game convincingly. The only thing I wondered in the first round, Central Catholic beat Beardstown, I think it was only 35-31, which kind of raised my eyebrows a little bit. I thought Central Catholic would, maybe win that one a little more convincingly. But, it was a little bit of a surprise. I wasn't at the Williamsville game, but then I look back at the way they beat Moroa, well, maybe it wasn't that big of a surprise.
No, that's a good point. Dave, anything else in terms of the local teams that has caught your attention here as we get set for the state quarterfinal round?
Well, yeah, as far as small schools, of course, we haven't really mentioned Athens today. In 1A, they have to go down to Red Hill. Red Hill's unbeaten. Athens, again, they're the only 1A team in the Sangamo Conference, and I think that probably helps them in the long run. I think it's going to be two running teams today. One of Athens' running backs said it ought to be a short game today. Hopefully that'll be the case. And, the one thing about Red Hill, they also play in a conference where they are maybe only one or two among, one or two 1A teams. They also play they beat Newton, they beat Robinson, they beat Paris. They've beaten several 2A and 3A teams. So both of those teams in that game today have been kind of tested in the regular season. Carrollton at Tuscola in the other 1A game today, Carrollton came out on top against Camp Point last week, and then, Tuscola is Tuscola. They're always good. So the Hawks, are going to have their hands full, but whoever wins that game will play, Athens or Red Hill in the next round. So, it's just an exciting day, quarterfinal day, and then next week we're into the Final Four.
That's good stuff. Dave, thanks so much for a few minutes of your time, and I reckon I'll see you in Carlinville today, sir.
Yeah, we'll see you in a little while.
All right, sounds great. Dave Kane of the Springfield State Journal Register. Always great to catch up with Dave. You always want to make sure you read him in the State Journal. He is such an amazing writer. He has such a great ability, David, to tell a story and just make you feel connected.
And he's seen all three of Carlinville's playoff games, too. He's been with him every round.
That's right. And I'm not a big Twitter guy. But if you like the Twitter, you got to follow Dave Kane on the Twitter.
He's a good follow.
Every once in a while I'll be on the WizMe account just kind of perusing, looking for scores. And he'll, tweet out, old, pictures of, the old, baseball stadiums, mm-hmm. Baseball Cathedral or something.
Yeah.
Always entertaining.
He's definitely a good follow.
Oh, he is. And he's a fantastic sports writer for the State Journal Register. We always call him our small school guru, David. because that's what the man knows, everything you need to know. If you want to know anything about a small school in the central part of the state, just ask Dave Kane.
Well, you had a question the other day about had Carlinville ever played St. Therese. I told you to ask him. Did you ask him about it?
I did. He didn't know.
Okay. Well, darn. There was one thing he didn't know.
There's limits to everything, David.
This is true.
Limits to everything.
Didn't mean to throw him under the bus.
But you did.
Wow.
Way to go, David.
I'm sorry.
Way to go. Now I got to apologize to Dave when I see him later today.
Yeah. Tell him I am sorry.
I'll tell him, David. Hey, Carlinville, Pleasant Plains, coming up today, 1:45 with the pregame, 2 o'clock kick right here on FM 106, streaming at WSMIRadio.com. We've got Fighting Illini football today, hosting Indiana. That's coming up at the top of the hour on 105.3 The Ox. Good luck to Carlinville today as they try to punch their ticket into the state semifinals. For David Jenkins, I'm Tim Mai. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.